This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ, featuring T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could be with us. How do the teachings and traditions of the Roman Catholic Church compare to the Book of Romans? That is our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host, Mike Gendron, here's T.A. McMahon.
Mike, welcome.
Oh, it's good to be with you again, Tom.
Mike, before we get into our study, actually a new study of the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans, for those who have followed our program for the past weeks and months and almost a year now. Anyway, we've been going through the book of Galatians, which we finished last week, and now we're going to start Romans. And Mike, that should take us a day or two, do you think?
Yeah, but what a great book.
Exactly.
Outside of the Gospel of John, I highly recommend the book of Romans for a new believer.
Right. As I said, before we get into Romans, Mike, I want to read an article that I have in my hands, actually just the first couple of paragraphs, and then I want you to comment on it. It has to do with a conference in which you were the only speaker. Well, anyway, here it goes. This is from the Ventura, California newspaper, The Star, and I'll start with just right from the top. Mike Gendron explains that he says the things he does out of love and kindness. The only reason I do it is out of compassion for Roman Catholics who believe a different gospel, he said from the headquarters of his Proclaiming the Gospel Ministries in Plano, Texas. The Bible says there is only one way to heaven. A week ago, Thursday night, the Catholic-turned-evangelical Christian delivered a presentation on his former faith that caused the senior pastor of a Simi Valley church to say it was a mistake to host the event. It also prompted offended Catholics to challenge the practice of people of one faith passing judgment on another. Mike, when you told me about this last week, it broke my heart. I thought, no, this can't be what you're saying. But tell us about it. It sounds like it was worse than even this intro.
Well, it really was. I was invited by the assistant pastor, one of the assistant pastors of the church, and it's a church that's grown from 0 to 4,000 members in 9 years, and it's the largest and most highly influential evangelical church in Simi Valley. And so when the Catholics heard that I was coming, they immediately protested and, in fact, wrote to the pastor and said that he should cancel my meeting because all I do is spread lies about the Roman Catholic Church. And so, having met with the pastor and the pastoral staff before my seminar, we had dinner together, and I went out knowing that there would be many Catholics in the audience, and I think there was upwards of about 40. But I was very sensitive to the Catholics in the audience. I presented the case very delicately. I spoke the truth in love. I told the reason that we have a seminar like this is because there are differences between what the Bible teaches on the plan of salvation and what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. And my whole presentation, an hour and 15 minutes, was on the differences between what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Roman Catholic Church teaches about him. And so at the end of this point-counterpoint, these objective facts that I presented from the Bible and from the Catholic Catechism, I then shared with the audience how they could become effective witnesses to Roman Catholics by presenting the Jesus as he is revealed to us in the Scriptures, his all-sufficiency. And then there was supposed to be a question and answer period. And when I began asking for questions, the pastor, the senior pastor, stood up and said, "We don't have time for questions and answers. In fact, I'd like to apologize to all the Roman Catholics that are here this evening. I'm sorry that you had to sit through a presentation such as this. This is not what our church is about." And so for the next 10 minutes, he even commented about how, "I don't even know what I'm going to say. I feel like I'm rambling," but he was very upset that there was something so black and white, something so doctrinal, that came from his pulpit. And so in the end, he apologized again, and that was the end of the message. The good news is that everyone else in the audience, as far as evangelical Christians, were very moved by the presentation. to the extent that we've received emails and letters and phone calls telling us how they have used our materials to bring conversion to Roman Catholics who were lost in their religion. And this was the first time they understood how they could be effective witnesses to Catholics. So there was some persecution, Tom, but there was also great encouragement from the letters and the feedback we got from the other Christians there.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you know, as I said, this is something that breaks my heart. You know, you were a Roman Catholic for, what, how many years?
For 37 years.
37 years. And I was a Roman Catholic for 32 years. And these are issues that are near and dear to our heart because of, you know, the love of Christ compels us not just to go out and reach people that we don't know. That's important. But most of us who do this sort of thing begin with our family members because right there the love relationship is so close. And especially if we're concerned that they don't know the Lord, that they are not going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And they have an idea about him, and they have some, I'm talking about those loved ones, family members who are Roman Catholic. They have some ideas, some Orthodox ideas, but they don't know the Lord. And I didn't develop the criteria for how you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior through faith in him and faith alone in what he did, what he accomplished on the cross. These aren't my ideas, Mike, and I, having seen your presentations before, I know you don't present it as the gospel according to Mike Gendron.
Not at all. In fact, Tom, I even told the people up front, this is not going to be a subjective presentation. I will be presenting objective truths from the Word of God and objective facts from the Roman Catholic Catechism. And each one in the audience will have to make their own determination who they're going to trust for their eternal destiny. And I know, Tom, that you and I would still be Roman Catholic if we had not been confronted with the truth of the gospel.
Right.
And, you know, that's all I was doing that evening, was showing the Catholics in the audience that there is another Jesus that they are putting their trust in.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to come to Jesus as the all-sufficient Savior who's able to save them completely and forever.
Mike, and again, the reason this breaks my heart is that, yes, we've wrestled and had discussions and had arguments with Roman Catholics, and it's natural for them to defend their faith and so on. But you would expect that you would get help from someone who calls themselves an evangelical, a Bible-believing Christian. And we have seen time after time where some of our greatest problems come from those who claim to believe in the Bible and claim to live by it. But when you lay out things just as you did, so simply, so straightforward, what's the problem? What are they missing? I mean, this is not, I hate to keep using the term rocket science, but it's not that difficult. It's the simple gospel, and the gospel of Rome is clearly another gospel.
Well, Tom, the movement today in the evangelical churches, as you know, is to move toward a more seeker-sensitive church. And, of course, the seeker-sensitive church attempts to draw the world into the church and keep them there. And so they have to do it by minimizing and downplaying the teaching of God's Word. And the goal is to bring people in and keep them there. And so what they do is they begin tickling their ears, and they don't talk about the holiness of God or the importance of obedience or sin or judgment.
Or sound doctrine, Mike.
Right. And so that's why this was so upsetting to the pastor, is it was so doctrinal, and it was so, this is truth and this is error, and you must believe the truth in order to be saved. In the end, I quoted Jesus out of John 8:24. Jesus said, unless you believe who I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. And unless Catholics believe that Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior, they will die in their sins. They will perish.
And unless those who call themselves, who profess to be evangelicals, understand that, I think they ought to put another title with regard to what they call themselves. It's just, it's a crime, Mike.
Well, you know, the other thing that's interesting, Tom, about this, and it's not the first time it's happened, but can you imagine? I mean, here are Roman Catholics calling this evangelical church up, telling them to cancel an event where an evangelical is going to come in and talk about the sufficiency of Jesus. Can you imagine you and I calling a Roman Catholic church and having them cancel an event where they're going to have a Roman Catholic come in and talk about how the evangelical faith is wrong. I mean, there's no way that we would do that. There's no way that we would know that any of our attempts would have any effect. But yet, for some reason, there's great power in Roman Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
to the extent that they feel like they can actually call up another church and cancel one of our events.
Yeah, because the evangelical church has opened the door. The whole thrust toward ecumenism, to getting along, to mm-hmm. putting aside, finding common ground, putting aside our differences, since Vatican II, this has been a role that the Catholic Church has been on, and I'm not saying everybody within the evangelical church, but try and find a highly visible leader among evangelicals. You know, I can think of maybe on my one hand, that's about as far as I can go, who are standing up and saying, look, the truth has to be proclaimed. People need to be saved. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They need to be set free, and it's only the truth that's going to do that. But who else out there is proclaiming it? So I'm not saying we're the only ones, but I'm saying there are fewer and fewer, it seems.
And I'm always reminded of Luke 18:8, when Jesus asked the question, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Because when we've got evangelical churches that are unwilling to take a stand for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints, all these churches are on slippery slopes.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they get back to the gospel and start preaching it and telling people what's wrong and with false gospels and warning people of false teachers, then there won't be any faith when Jesus returns.
Right. Mike, that's why I appreciate that I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to speak to people through this medium of radio. And I'm glad that we can go through the Epistle to the Romans, which lays it out as clearly as any book in the Bible. So let's get started with that. We don't have very much time.
Well, Tom, and just a quick comment, it's good that we have this medium as well, because it appears that fewer and fewer churches are going to invite us in to begin equipping the saints to reach out to Roman Catholics. So it's good that they can tune into the Internet and pick this message up off the radio.
Right. Romans, chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 1. Mike, I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then you take it however the Lord leads you. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, you know, what we do is something that should not be unique to us, Mike. Certainly Paul was called to be an apostle and separated unto the gospel of God, but that's the way it is with every Christian. We ought to be out, as your ministry, the title of your ministry, states, proclaiming the gospel, the good news.
Well, it's so true, and in the word separated, you know, we can look at that as sanctified. We're to be called out of this world for service unto the Lord, to proclaim his gospel. And that's what Paul is saying in these first few verses, separated for the gospel.
And again, the gospel, he sets, and we'll see this as we go through Romans, but it's the gospel of God. It's not the gospel of Mike Gendron, although it's your gospel now, isn't it, Mike? Because you have received it, and it's the same with me. But it's the gospel of God. It's not the gospel of a denomination. It's not the gospel of Baptists or Methodists or the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, they have a gospel, but unless it's the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, it's another gospel. It's a false gospel, and it won't save anyone.
Well, and in fact, we need to even talk about what the word gospel means. It's good news. And the good news is that God will deliver us from our sins. He will forgive our sins, and he'll give us eternal hope. But only if we come to him through the cross, through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. And when you look at the Roman Catholic gospel, there is no good news. A Roman Catholic can live his entire life trying to be righteous and doing indulgences and never missing the sacrifice of the Mass and doing the sacraments all the days of his life. And what does he have as an expectation when he dies? The purging fire of purgatory. That's not good news. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how long he'll have to be suffering in purgatory the gospel is that our sins are completely forgiven, and the moment we die, we're in the presence of our Lord. There's no greater news than that.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Mike address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
I know Mike gets a lot of questions, and it hit me, why don't I have Mike give us the kinds of questions he usually gets? I'd be interested to hear what people want to know, Mike.
Well, sure. Oftentimes after we do a seminar like this, the Roman Catholics in the audience will either send us emails or letters with questions, and I've got a couple of them I can share with you.
Good.
This one reads, where in the Catechism does it say that Catholics need the sacraments to get to heaven? I am trying hard to understand your motives for lying. Every time you attack and claim that my church is anti-biblical, you are showing your ignorance. The Bible is the cornerstone of our religious education and our spiritual lives. How would Jesus look upon you and your followers? You are spending your time creating a rift with fellow Christians. Why do you continue to lie about the Catholic Church? I will continue to pray for you and hope that you see the light. I pray that you will stop spreading untruths and hurt and start really doing God's will. So the question really is, where in the Catechism does it say that Catholics need the sacraments? You know, and Tom, I find this so often, that oftentimes Catholics don't know their own religion. They don't study their catechism.
But Mike, if all I had was that question, and just like you, I have a history going back to the cradle, okay, 32 years of my life of being a Roman Catholic, coming up through the Catholic system, and then studying Catholicism as a Catholic, and then after becoming a born-again Christian, studying Catholicism from the standpoint of the Bible, because as a Catholic growing up, I didn't read the Bible. I don't know anybody that did. We all had Bibles, but they were usually about 40 pounds, and they were on our coffee tables, and they had some things in it about when we were baptized and confirmed and all of that, my sisters and I, and that's what it was about, but there was no reading of it. But if I just heard that question, I think, oh, man, Mike, you must be such a liar. You don't really understand the Catholic Church, and this person does. But just the opposite. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's a tragedy that not only do they not know their religion, but then they call others who are speaking the truth about their religion a liar. In paragraph 1129 of the New Catechism of the Catholic Church, it states very clearly, the Church affirms that for believers, the sacraments of the covenant are necessary for salvation. There it is. I mean, the answer is right there. They are necessary. In fact, it begins with baptism. That's what brings new birth to a Catholic soul. A Catholic is believed to be justified at that point. And then he's on probation. He's got conditional salvation because he must obey the law as best he can the rest of his life, and he must not die in the state of mortal sin. So in the process, he receives these sacraments each time he commits sins in order to give him the grace to overcome sin and to build up merit that is necessary for eternal life.
Mike, without the sacraments, and you could almost pick one or two, well, you could start with baptism, as you mentioned, there is no Catholic Church. It's all based on anybody who thinks that Mike just picked out one little item from the catechism ought to go to the Council of Trent and see statement after statement after statement of how the Church not only depends on the sacraments, but without them, you are lost. You have no sanctifying grace. You have no possibility of purgatory, let alone heaven.
Well, it's so true. And, you know, you look at what the Bible says, that sinners are justified as a gift by God's grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And this happens at a moment in time when a person repents and puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, Mike, I know for Catholics out there who are listening, they're thinking, oh, man, there we go again. It's this faith thing. It's just by faith. Well, they don't even call it easy believism. It's just an easy way, a ticket to heaven by faith. But if they understood what Christ accomplished on the cross, if they understood that the penalty for sin, I don't care whether it's a venial sin, mortal sin, whatever, the penalty for sin is death. separation from God forever. It's an infinite penalty. And there's nothing that anyone can do, not only to pay the penalty, but to somehow buy off some time for suffering. The penalty is infinite. The only hope anyone has is if Jesus paid the full penalty for our sins, and we could put our trust, put our faith in him.
Well, what you're saying is so true, Tom, and that's where Catholics say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus said he nailed the sin debt to the cross in Colossians 2:13-14. It was paid in full. And yet Catholics would rather deny that and reject the promises of Jesus. Jesus said it is finished. The work of our redemption is over. He paid it in full, as you said. But Catholics believe that by participating in the sacrifice of the Mass, that the Mass takes care of all the sins they committed in the previous week.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe that all of their sins were borne by Christ and the sin debt was paid by him. And so to believe in Christ is to believe not only in his person, but also in his work.
Again, Mike, you know, that's so true. And coming back to my point, faith is your only hope. It's my only hope. Putting our faith in Christ, because there's nothing else that we can do. And this is not just, I'm just going to do this thing because it's the only thing I can do and so on. This is the way God planned it. In his justice, the full penalty for sin had to be paid. Jesus paid that full penalty. Perfect justice has then been satisfied.
And Tom, the psalmist says it so well, that Jesus is the only place for our faith in Psalm 49:7-8.
Mm-hmm.
None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their souls is costly, and they should cease forever trying to redeem their brothers.
Right.
And yet this is what the Catholic Church teaches. By indulgences that you can offer for your loved ones in purgatory, you're actually redeeming the life of your brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't, because the price is too high. It's an infinite debt.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is not your idea, Mike, or my idea. This is God's condition. Faith is the condition for receiving the free gift, and faith isn't a work. It's just putting one's trust in Christ, knowing that there's nothing anyone can do other than Christ to pay the penalty for our sins. He
and
did
Tom,
it
when you put your faith in Jesus, what you're doing is you're ceasing to trust yourself. You're ceasing to trust any other means. You're putting all of your hope and confidence in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. It's the only way, and not because I say so or not because Mike says so. It's because that's what the Bible says, and this is God's word with regard to how you obtain eternal life, simply by faith, putting your trust in him. And again, the Catholic Church, that's as far as the Catholic Church teaches, according to the Council of Trent, if you believe that it's by faith alone that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ, you are, according to the Catholic Church, anathema, condemned, excommunicated, cut off. How clear can it be, Mike? There is one gospel, the gospel according to Rome, versus the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ from the Scriptures.
Well, and there's anathemas on both sides. The Word of God condemns anyone who would preach another gospel. And I would rather be condemned by the Roman Catholic Church than be condemned by God. And so Catholics have to make that choice. Are they willing to trust God and his word for their eternal life, or the teachings and traditions of their church? When they boil it down to that, they should all trust God and his word.
Amen.
If you have questions for Tom and his guest to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 1803. and please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.